on Comics Special Edition, an interview with Dirk M.F. Manning.
All right, guys, welcome to pretty much our interview with, at this point, the fifth host of Drunk on Comics.
Yeah, fuck, he's on the show.
More than Matt is. Yeah. We've got a good friend, Dirk Manning, here today with us. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, welcome back to my show, guys.
So glad you have us.
Well, no, thank you for having me on, man. It's been a little while. I missed you guys.
Yeah, the last time we talked was at Motor City, and actually we made you interview us. So at this point, yeah, that kind of is becoming your show.
I love interviewing you guys like that. It's fun. It's a nice role reversal. And honestly, the privilege to get to talk to you guys about you guys on your show is something that's not lost on me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we're a little shy in wanting to talk about ourselves and promote us, so I'm glad that you pulled that out.
I can relate, which is I'm glad that you guys are willing to talk to me once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while. It's the weekly show with Dirk. So before we get into too much here.
Dirk on Comics.
Yeah, Dirk on Comics.
The new logo, whatever I'm on, it's like crossed out the drunk and just put Dirk and Shirley Temple in there.
Oh, God, that's going to be way too good. But, yeah, so we're actually going to see you in person here not too far from now. In September, you're going to be at Grand Con.
Yeah, September 19th, 21st, I believe.
Yep, beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan at the Crown Plaza. And second year for that show. We were part of their inaugural last year, had a blast. This year, I think, is going to be even better. So, you're going to be there with another good friend of ours, Seth DeMoose.
Yeah.
You guys have a new book or something like that.
That's what I hear. Yeah, Seth is, and I should mention, is a Grand Rapids boy.
A Grand Rapidian.
Is that the term? A Grand Rapids? See, I got to learn this stuff before I come up to you. See you guys.
Yeah.
Is this going to be your first time in Grand Rapids?
Actually, it will. I've known Seth for a long time, but this will be the first time I have been in Grand Rapids, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, you're in for a world of hurt that weekend with us.
I welcome the challenge. So, Seth and I are working on Volume 2 of Tales of Mystery, the sequel to the graphic novel that came out last year, Tales of Mystery Carmageddon, and Seth is the illustrator on that. I can say with no hyperbole, doing the work of his career on this book right now. And I'm hoping by the time we hit Grand Rapids, the second issue will be out from Devil's Due. I'm really hoping. We're going to see if we can make it work.
Yeah. Well, and I got to say, too, I mean, I've always enjoyed Seth's work, but you're right. He's knocking it out of the park with what you've shown us so far, which is basically the first two issues.
Mm-hmm.
The one nice thing that Tony and I were talking about a little bit earlier is there's some nice little nods to Grand Rapids in here, too.
Seth is an Easter egg machine. I am an Easter egg machine in my own way because Tales of Mystery takes place in the same world, universe as Nightmare World. I tend to throw a lot of little Nightmare World references in there here and there. And then Seth does his own thing too, with putting a lot of little Grand Rapids stuff in there and stuff like that. But it's a little brevity for us amidst the just total carnage and survival horror that is Carmageddon. So
yeah, well we saw a few.
Yeah,
the
Yesterdog poster is one of them.
Yep,
which is a place that when you're in town you do need to check out. That place is amazing.
Yeah, that Yesterdog. Speaking of Easter eggs, there are five little Easter eggs, I guess, if you will, on one page in particular, where you enjoyed yourself a little bit too much coming up ways to kill your friends.
Well, you know, yourself and a couple of people were kind enough to provide pull quotes for the back cover of Tales of Mystery Procreation of the Wicked, which was the trade paperback collection of the online comic, which is now available in comic shops everywhere. And so what I did as a reward for you and some other fine people being nice enough to provide the pull quotes is that in the first issue of Volume 2, Carmageddon, we we killed you rather violently and horribly. So you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I do enjoy the fact that, especially with us being drunk on comics, that you chose to crucify me with beer bottles. And I was disemboweled.
That's right. Little insult to itch. Well, you know, I wanted to, you guys have always treated me right, so I wanted to treat you right.
Well, and I do have to say thank you. I don't know if this is Seth or you, but you crucified me with beer bottles from Founders, another Grand Rapids thing. So, you know, at least it was good beer, you know, so that I'm happy about. I mean, if I would have been crucified with, like, you know, Milwaukee's best bottles or something like that.
Right. We didn't want you to die with PBR jammed into your wrists.
See, the one thing now, this is going to go to Derek's head, and he's going to be like, I'm immortal. I'm comic book dead. That doesn't mean real dead.
That's right.
That is true. Now, you also, one of the other people in that book was our good friend Cosmic Casey.
Yes.
And what exactly was going on with her there? I love the fact that you get so giggly talking about killing your friends, by the way.
Killing people. No, I don't want to give too much away, but I will say that she, her death scene has a lot of heart.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that. Her death scene has a lot of heart, but there's some rib-splitting horror in her death.
I was going to say, it looks like, it looks like she probably enjoys barbecue because there are lots of ribs.
There's lots of rib. That's right.
So Dirk, because we are picking up new listeners all the time, so if people have not gone back and listened to us talk about your book before, why don't you kind of fill people in on what Tales of Mystery is all about?
Yeah, Tales of Mystery is a, like I said, an ongoing series of miniseries at this point about a paranormal troubleshooter, as I guess kind of the best way to put it. He lives in a world where the rapture, the Armageddon and the rapture, well, biblical proportions, has happened. And people pretty much want to believe that the world has gone back to normal. It hasn't. There are still things left. And Mystery is kind of like the guy that a friend of a friend recommends that you get in touch with if there's something weird going on. And Volume 1 is very much horror noir. Actually, Volume 1 is all black and white and great tones. And it looks like an old film noir movie, which is very intentional. Mm-hmm. So the first trade paperback, we did like a film noir. And it's very noir style of horror. You kind of learn about Mystery, what he's about. Volume 2, Carmageddon, the first issue drops next month. The first issue is $1.99 for 22 pages, full color. We're doing full color with Volume 2. A cover by Eric freaking Powell of The Goon.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell people, man, nothing else. The book's worth $1.99. Buy the cover. If you don't like the issue, just cut off the cover and frame that.
That's what I was going to do.
Right. There you go. And cut out your panel with your death scene, right?
Yeah.
Volume 2 is much more survival horror. It's a four-issue miniseries. And it's basically the story of what Mystery was doing during the rapture, when the rapture happened. The rapture was actually, the events leading up to the Armageddon and the rapture were actually covered in another series I did that a lot of people know about called Nightmare World. You don't have to read anything with Nightmare World to read Mystery, but if you do, there's some fun little Easter eggs in there, things like that. Certain characters pop up. But basically, Mystery inherits, for lack of a better word, five children. Who their parents are killed. He does not get there in time to save the parents, but the father's dying wishes, protect my children. Go. You know, demons are falling from the sky and Cthulhu and all this crazy stuff. And here's this guy who is a fairly young man at this point, and he has five children foisted upon him, and he has to protect them during the Armageddon. So it's kind of like Lone Wolf and Cub during the Armageddon.
Oh, you know, I wouldn't have made that that parallel, but yeah, I can see that.
Now you mentioned Cthulhu. Like, is that something new that you're exploring within within your life?
Yeah, you know, I'm born again. I'm a born again Shuggoth. No, obviously, I'm a big Cthulhu fan. As I talk to you from my office right now, I'm looking around at these several Cthulhu idols and things like that that I've either gotten or people have given me over the years. And Cthulhu appears pretty prominently in Nightmare World as well. There's a series of three graphic novels. There will be one more. We'll do one last Nightmare World collection at some point as well here. But those are through Image Comics. Yeah, I'm a big Cthulhu guy. And the Cthulhu appearance in issue two is something that I'm especially proud of because, well, I don't want to give anything away, but let's just say there's a lot of rampaging. Yeah, and some very poor effects of his appearance on some of our characters.
Well, and I got to say, there's a couple double-page spreads in there by Seth, which are just fucking fantastic. I mean, I don't know how you got him to work with you, because, I mean, like, we warned him about you, and we said, don't do it. And, but...
Well, it's amazing what happens when someone just happens to choose to get drunk, and I'm always the sober one in the room.
Yeah.
And my phone has a camera on it. The next thing you know, lo and behold, I get all these great artists to work with me. So, in exchange for these pictures not being made public, no. No, Seth and I have known each other a long time. He worked on a couple Nightmare World stories with me back in the day, and this project's been bubbling for a while. You know, when I finished Volume 1 with Josh Ross, he ended up becoming a full-time tattoo artist. Plus, I knew that with Volume 2, I wanted to go in a different direction and talk to a couple different artists I know and things like that. And then at the last minute, Seth and I were talking about it, and he really just cut to the quick of what the series was going to be about and did some sample pages, and I'm like, boom, here it is. You know, so he jumped on for the four-issue miniseries, and then he's going to be doing one issue in Volume 3. When we do Volume 3, it'll be a series of one-shot stories, each by a different artist. Seth is great. I mean, very, very expressive art. I'm very big on working with non-traditional, quote-unquote, non-traditional, quote-unquote, horror artists for horror books, mm-hmm. which is really why I think Seth's style is really going to work on this as it goes on and on, because it's a dark... Carmageddon is dark. And it gets considerably darker as it goes, you know. By the third and fourth issue especially, Seth actually just finished the third issue last night, or yesterday. I'm not one that... I like horror comics, but I like well-done horror comics, and I think sometimes in horror comics people get into the trap of, like, trying to make it really gritty and really mm-hmm. stretchy-scratchy and stuff like that. And it's just over the top, man. Blood doesn't look good in comics, you know? I mean, it really doesn't. It's really hard to capture that well. So you have to kind of take a different bent on it. At least that's my take. And I was just tickled to work with Seth. Like I said, he's doing the work of his career, and especially, you know, as the book goes on, and he really hits his stride with things. And, yeah, by the time you get to the Cthulhu double-page spread in issue two, it's like, yeah, if that doesn't just make you stare at the page for a while, I don't know what you're doing reading comics, because that's comics at its finest right there.
Well, you know, and I think, like, and I've tried explaining, what, you know, if you can't show somebody Seth's work, I've tried explaining it before, and I think probably the best that I've come up with, and this still doesn't quite explain it and do it justice, it's a clean, cartoonish, pin-up, expressive style. And that's as close as I can get, and it's still not right, you know?
But, yeah, there's a lot of Darwin Cook in there, there's a lot of Mignola in there, but he's very much his own beast, and which is why I like working with him so much. I had a lot of people tell me with Volume 1, when they started to see some of Josh Ross's pages, they're like, you're like, wow, this really isn't traditional. This is really a different art style. Like, yeah.
How much direction do you give him, and how much freedom does he have? Like, do you say Cthulhu's coming through here and beams of light here, and or is it kind of this is what you imagine, Seth does it and blows your expectations, or...
I write very full scripts, but I've worked with Seth enough, too, that I give him the script and say, here's my very full script. You know, you read a script from me, and it's like we're talking. You know, I'm like, okay, this, blah, 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 blah. But then I hand it off to him, and I'm like, just now, do what you think is best. And there's time he's added panels, there's times he's condensed panels, things like that. In the first, I think at this point, the first three issues are done. I asked him to change one panel. So, I mean, he's the artist, and he's a great artist. He has an artist eye, and boom, go with it. I did ask about one other correction on something, or one other change. I didn't say correction. I suggested a change on something. He came back and said, "Well, blah 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 blah," and he kind of. I said, "Yeah, okay, you're right," and that was it. You know, I mean, so but and the first one I was right on the money, and the second one I wasn't. And once he explained what was going on with it, and someone else too that really need to give huge props to on this is Anthony Lee, who's doing the colors.
Yeah,
we're doing a lot of cool stuff with colors in this book, and you know, a lot of people I think overlook colorists in comics.
Yeah,
and the use of color, and one thing, and I did this in volume one obviously with making it all black and white in a very noir looking book. Tony, once he got a hold of this and said, well, here's what I want to do, and I went back and rewrote some scenes just to work in what he was doing with color. The flashback images that are in red, and you should go on different characters, you know, seeing things in different colors and things like that. The color scheme becomes a very integral part of the book as we go as well. So that was something else that you know, we all knew this was a big deal. Taking this book to Devil's Due. This is the first time I've done a monthly book ever, if you can believe. Well, a monthly creator-owned book, I should say. So this is a really big deal, and we all really put a lot of pressure on ourselves. We've all worked together before, and I give Seth the script. He just goes with it. He runs with it, you know. And then Tony working in with the colors and stuff like that. It's very collaborative. It's very collaborative. And actually, the draft, the review PDF you guys got, we actually tweaked the colors a little bit more even for print to really pop them out more. So it's a very collaborative process, but at the same time, I'm working with a great team. So the key to success is letting people do what they do well.
Yeah, well, and I can tell you, I mean, it definitely shows. You know, I really enjoyed the first volume. But this one, man, this one is fantastic. I mean, like you took something that was really, really good and enjoyable, and you just freaking took it to a whole new level with this one. And I mean, it's a combination of the story and the artwork, and it just all works so well together. So,
oh, well, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I didn't want to repeat Volume 1, you know, which obviously we couldn't. You know, Volume 1 is very much about the exploration of the character, and Tales of Mystery Volume 1 is – let me back up here and say this. The monster hunter trope has been done a million times, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's Constantine, if it's the TV show Supernatural, if it's The Goon, if it's Drumheller. I mean, Drumheller, Riley Rossmo, you can go on and on. It's been done a billion times.
Mm-hmm.
But I can look anybody in the face and say, you will never read a book like Tales of Mystery. You have never read a quote-unquote monster hunter book like this. And that was really important to me. And as we go forward and do Volume 2, you know, people read Volume 1, they're like, holy crap, the ending. Like, oh my God, when's Volume 2? You know, and that's something that we all take very seriously, you know, and that's important to me, from the writing to the art to the colors to the lettering. I mean, we want to just give some people a fresh, new experience. This isn't black, bald Constantine. This isn't darker, more nihilistic, noir, The Goon. You know, this is mystery. There's only one.
The thing I liked about this, I mean, I think especially with what I've seen in Volume 2 so far, too, is that, yeah, it's Monster Hunter, whatever, but that is the vehicle for just a really good quality character exploration, and that's what I'm enjoying about it, because yeah, it's a different setting, it's a, you know, but realistically we've seen every story that's out there, you know,
right.
I mean, there's only so many stories, it's just how you retell them, you know, at right. The end of the day, but yeah, this has been a lot of fun, and I don't know. And now I want people to know, too, after reading Volume 1, if they go out and they see, you know, Issue 1 of Carmageddon is out there, they don't have to read the first volume to be able to jump right in.
Not in the least bit.
Yeah.
Not in the least bit.
So that was one of the things that I liked, you know.
Yeah, and that was intentional, too, because, I mean, listen, I'm to the point where a lot of people know my name, a lot of people hear good stuff about my work, but there's still people, and this is understandable, that when push comes to shove, Nightmare World 1, 2, and 3. They're about $15 each, right? I mean, they're only trades. You can't get issues of Nightmare World. Mm-hmm. Tales of Mystery Volume 1, $15. There are no issues. Now, you could go online and read it, you know, and a lot of people don't like to do that necessarily either. Or I take it back. I'm sure they can read Nightmare World online. They can't read Tales of Mystery online. So I wanted to do something where people could spend literally $2. $2. You know, you go pick up some of the other, you know, books from Marvel and DC, things like that. They're $4 an issue. $2, 22 pages, full color. You don't have to know anything about anything. Pick it up, read the first issue, boom. If you like it, keep going. If you don't, hey, thanks for trying it. But it was really important for me for it to be accessible, you know, because a lot of books aren't, you know. It frustrates me that you can't hear good things about a book, and when you hear good things about a book, and you can't just go pick it up and start reading it. That's what I wanted. And Carmageddon's a 4-issue miniseries. Boom. You're in for 4 issues if you like it, and then there'll be volume 3, you know, after that. But
that's what I like. Yeah. There's a, you know, beginning, middle, and end. And just like the, you know, the first, you know, trade paperback, that it's, as you said, they're two different stories, but they're the same story. And it's hard to explain that, but it's good that you can jump into now and just enjoy the ride.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, in Tales of Mystery Volume 1, I mean, if you ask me, I'll tell you absolutely it's fantastic. But it is, Derek mentioned, it's very, very, very much a character study. Who is this guy? What's this guy about? And one of the things that I like the most is when, one of the things most flattering, is people read mystery and come back. And I've actually had people come back, like one time I had a psychologist come over to me, and he was talking to me about, he goes, you know mystery has post-traumatic stress disorder. And I'm like, oh yeah, absolutely he does. Yeah, without a doubt. Because how could you live, and this is one of my biggest beefs about a lot of the Monster Hunter books, how can you live in a world where monsters exist and not be totally traumatized? I mean, really? I don't care how badass you are. I mean,
didn't you have something in Volume 1 about his, like, post-rapture, you know?
Yeah. What happens is people in the world after in the series after the rapture has happened, and there's the thing too. This is a kind of a post-apocalyptic book, but things are pretty normal again. We have cities, we have towns, we have internet. Everything's normal.
There's no Starbucks, but there's Dirk's Perks.
Dirk's Perk. That's right. Dirk's Perk survives the rapture. As a matter of fact, the greatest coffee shop on Earth. And that's just one of those things that one of the artists years ago put in, Ray Dillon put that in one of the issues, I think it was, as a joke, Dirk's Perk. And that, so that's like always the coffee shop of choice, is Dirk's Perk. Volume 3, the first issue, is a mystery in a coffee shop talking with another character, and of course, Dirk's Perk. But in Nightmare World Volume 1, or Tales of Mystery Volume 1, sorry, people that don't want to, I guess, spew the line or toe the line that, hey, everything's back to normal, guys. And if you say, no, there's not, I saw these things, they it's pretty much the tyranny of the majority, and they lock you up in an insane asylum and say that you have post-rapture adjustment disorder. PRADS. Or post-rapture adjustment disorder syndrome. PRADS. Which is like, we don't want to hear it anymore. Millions of people were killed by demons. Millions of people were sucked up into the sky by beam columns of light. We're done. Everything's normal. We're just moving on.
Just stick your fingers in your ear and go, la, 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 la.
That's it. And if you can't play that game, we've got nice padded rooms for you in all kinds of hospitals, which is something, yeah, we explore. I don't want to get a lot more, but it's like society at large just has post-traumatic stress, or, you know, it's like, you know what, it's done. Shutting it down, let's just move on. Because, you got books like, you know, and again, and I enjoy a lot of these books like Hellblazer and stuff like that. But I don't care how badass you are, when you live in that kind of world, where you live in a world where you've seen people turn into demons, when you live in a world where people reanimate corpses and zombies and create sex clubs with them, and I mean, all that stuff, man. You live in a world of Cthulhu where the sky can rip open and demons can pour out at the drop of a dime. How do you sleep?
I don't know. It sounds like my ex-girlfriend living with her, but I got through it. So.
Right. See, and you're the problem, Derek.
I got a little room for you, Dirk.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
tell people where I live.
So but, now, what else do you have lined up for, because you're pretty much like long-haul trucker during the summer, well, from spring through fall with your signings and shows. This is your month off, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I did get wooed into going down to Hilliard, Ohio at the end of July to do their Not at Comic-Con appearance at Pack Rat Comics. They were the first ever comic shop to ever have me in for a signing back when I was self-publishing. And Jamie and Teresa down there are really nice people. And I told them, I said, you know, I'll never forget how well they treated me when I started and things like that. And I agreed to do their Not at Comic-Con and go do a presentation down there with Victor Dandridge, which I'm really excited about.
We like Vic.
Vic's great. Yeah, he is. He calls me his Obi-Wan. So to get to do a, we're actually going to do a panel down there as part of this little signing they do. They do a Not at Comic-Con show or like a non-con. I'm going to do a little panel down there for kids for writing for comics. Ooh. The irony, of course, being that after I talk to them, there's hardly anything they can buy that I write. But
well, that and if it's you and Vic, you're not going to be able to. He's not going to be able to refer to you as Dirk Motherfucking Manning.
That as well. Yeah. We'll see DMFM as in Dirk Mighty Fine. But yeah, so I'm off this month, and then as you said, come fall. I'm just rocking and rolling again. I'll be all over the place.
Tony had something.
No, I'm just imagining you guys having to be like how they dub over movies for, you know, TV, like Dirk Mother Fine playing Snakes on My Mother Fine Plane or something.
Yeah. Dirk Mighty Fine Manning.
Mostly funny.
Possibilities are endless.
Mildly funny.
Mildly funny Manning. There you go. Yeah, Dirk Mildly Funny Manning. I like that one better.
Moderately fantastic.
So, what else you got lined up on your con schedule this year?
Well, people can go to dirkmanning.com for the full list, but let me think. What do I got going on here?
Are you doing Toronto?
I am not. You know, I think Toronto's going to be a next year show. A lot of the Michigan people have been telling me about the Toronto, and I need to take the plunge for next year and get up there. I'll be doing the Cincy Comic Con September 5th, Grand Con September 19th. I'll be doing Cinema Wasteland over by Cleveland, Ohio, October 4th. Doing New York Comic Con this year, October 9th. That'll be fun. My first time doing that. I did Special Edition this year. Now I'm actually going to be set up at New York Comic Con.
How was Special Edition?
It was a good way for someone like me, especially, to break into New York. You know, I've never done New York before. I'd never really spent any major time in New York. Josh Ross took me there for a day a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago. But to kind of navigate the town a little bit, learn what's up. It was on Father's Day weekend. Saturday was great. Father's Day was a little bit slower. But there are also like four other shows going on that weekend. But I enjoyed Special Edition, and I'm really looking forward to New York Comic Con. And then actually in October, I'll be in Michigan a couple times again. October 18th, I'll be at the Great Lakes Comic Con up at Macomb Community College. Mm-hmm. And then October 25th, I'll be at the Flint Horror Con up in Flint. So,
Do you I'll ever be, sleep?
Well, he is like his own little Dark Lord. I don't think he has to sleep, so.
Exactly. I don't sleep. I wait.
Great. It's going to be all Dirk Manning jokes, rip off of Chuck Norris jokes
right.
Now.
Exactly.
Well, we
or did Chuck Norris rip that one off from me? Don't tell him I said that.
Yeah. The dinosaurs looked at Dirk Manning wrong once. Once?
Yeah, once.
So anything else you got cooking that you need to tell our listeners about?
think right now, honestly, right now, I would tell people it's all about Carmageddon. I think that would be the big thing. You know, check your local comic shop. If they haven't ordered it, it's going to be in stores. The first two issues have been in previews. Then we're taking October off, and then we're releasing the last two issues in November and December. Just head to your local comic shop and have them pre-order it for you. It's $1.99 from Devil's Due. Second issues and previews as well, full color. Yeah, and if you like horror, you know, if you've read the stuff I've done with Nightmare World, Tales of Mystery will destroy you in the best possible ways. After that, you know, I'm really looking forward to getting Right or Wrong going again as like a monthly column type thing, and working on the sequel to Right or Wrong is also on my radar. So,
I was gonna ask, and I just remembered, So for volume two of Carmageddon, do you have a definitive end already lined up? For volume two.
Oh yeah, all four scripts are written. It's done. Seth is actually thumbnailing issue four, probably as we speak, which is probably why I didn't want to come out of the air. Volume two is written. It's done. It gets more and more soul crushing as the miniseries goes on, which is fun because that's what horror should do. It should wreck you a little bit.
It's kind of like good Mexican food.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, and I've already started working on volume three. And other than that, you know, in the meantime, there's just going to be a couple different anthologies I'll have short stories in coming out. A very high profile anthology that I'm not allowed to talk about because the editor will destroy me if I mention it. But it's going to be very dark. Those are the only hints I can give on that one. I'm in another anthology called Then It Was Dark, which is not the other one I'm talking about. So I'm in two dark anthologies coming out. And, those are the big things right now. But, yeah, and then, like I said, I'll be working on Volume 3. Lined up one of my other all-time favorite artists to do the cover for the first issue of Volume 3. And upwards and onwards.
So the artist for the first issue of Volume 3, can we guess?
Well, the cover artist?
Yeah.
You can guess.
You won't tell us that, will you?
Depends if you get it right.
Okay. We'll do it 20 question style. Is it somebody who's already done a cover for you before?
No.
Is it a man?
Yes.
Is it Tony?
No.
Good.
I will say this. It is one of the most recognizable horror comic artists working in comics today. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Well, we'll leave it a mystery.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of that, because
shut up.
I do have to bring this up because it was hilarious reading it in the last issue of them talking in the car, and she goes, "Mystery." Is that a joke? Mystery? And I started dying laughing because Derek here is talking about, you know, new book that you were doing when the first volume came out and stuff. And he didn't get it until
I said it out loud.
Yeah.
That's very common.
This was really good. This was like a really good book. Mystery. He goes, oh my gosh. I just got
son of a bitch.
I even put in volume one, the chapter Sweet Charity, about Charity from the Promise Group, she actually just makes a real quick comment about it. And most people skim right over it because they're reading it. It's the Amish story when you find out that there's this people that actually deal with demon blood and inject it like a drug. And this Amish girl injects demon blood and of real demon blood and becomes this hybrid Amish demon monster thing that's horrible.
That was a really disturbing chapter, by the way, I have to say.
Thank you. Well, there's the ice cream store chapter. That's pretty horrible. The first chapter about the unborn, the demons being summoned through unborn fetuses. There's the zombie sex club in volume one. So there's a lot of horrible stuff.
I kind
of
liked the zombie sex club one. I thought that was disgustingly fitting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I sometimes wonder. Well, again, horror should be horrible, but in the right ways. But Charity, who you see more of in volume two, spoiler, makes a real quick reference to in Volume 1. But I found most people kind of skim over it because, you know, all this crazy stuff's happening. And at cons all the time, people come up and, hey, I really like, you know, Tales of Mystery. And they're like, pause. And you see the light bulb, like, zzz, 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 ding, go off over their head. They're like, Mystery? Like, yeah. Like, that's really funny. I'm like, well, yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's my little LOL. But I decided to make it a little more blunt in the first issue of Volume 2.
So,
just call Marie. So.
You said Seth is working on issue 4 right now then, right?
He's thumbnailing issue 4 right now, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, because we're just, you know, wondering when, you know, Mr. Ree and the group, you know, decide to get a little bored and go to that awesome comic book shop, the Drunk on Comics comic book shop.
Yeah, it's right next to Dirk's Perk.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
That would, well, I'll, you know.
That's your most not subtle way of drawing.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I don't want to say anything about volume or the fourth issue other than to say I don't know how many opportunities for that there'll be. However, I think in the issue that he's going to be drawing for Volume 3, that will be very doable.
Cool. It should be awesome. On the cover.
Don't be greedy, motherfucker.
Why do I have a feeling, though, that it's going to be crossed out with the Drunk and Dirk on comics?
Dirk on, that's it. That one is. We'll have like Dirk Manning on there doing like the ding, little top, you know, thumbs up with his top hat and his garb and stuff like that.
Just you kind of like turning around, looking over your shoulder so they can only see part of your face because that would be fitting. And you're like crossing off the Drunk and finishing writing the K on Dirk.
Well, you know. It would actually be like the public persona of Dirk Manning with a top hat and a scarf at that point doing it, right? Spray painting over it and stuff.
You know, I think I just have a new idea for a commission from Seth at Grand Con now. I think I'm going to have to do that one.
Yeah, that will be pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, is there, you know, you said DirkManning.com. Is there any other place that people might be able to follow you? I mean, do you understand the web? Are you ever on it?
Just a little, yeah. No, yeah, you know, people can go follow me on Facebook, Facebook.com/DirkManning, Twitter, obviously. And I begrudgingly joined Instagram.
Have you figured it out yet?
Yeah, kind of. The thing is, I don't take a ton of pictures myself, but I did vow with Instagram too, no food, no selfies.
Yeah.
So my Instagram's probably a little different than a lot of people's. They're like, oh, I'm having a good hair day. I'm like, man, I have a good hair day every day. Give me a break. So
officially, fuck you.
No, but I'm also on Tumblr. Tumblr's the one I really can't figure out yet. I don't quite get that one, but Instagram, it's okay. I do some different sharing of things on there, but I think once con season picks up too, I'll be dropping some more Instagram love for sure.
Dropping some Insta bombs.
There you go. Well, it's like, hey, here, you know, I posted a picture on Instagram. So I said no dinner, no selfies, but I had like this like great mint chocolate chip ice cream with a chocolate waffle cone. It was like a hot day, so I was just messing around, and I posted it, and of course, people were like, oh, you know. I got more likes on that than I would get on, like, a picture of, like, my setup at a convention. I'm like, really? Really? I have, like, 8 books on the table, like, cool stuff, but I post, like, an ice cream cone?
Yeah.
So maybe rethink my Instagram approach. You know?
I always forget that we have an Instagram.
It's interesting. It's like I said, I'm learning it, but, I mean, for me, Facebook, you know, follow me on Facebook is probably where you get the most stuff. But even then, you know, stuff gets lost on Facebook. I was just talking to a buddy of mine yesterday who reads everything I've done and didn't know that we did a Kickstarter for the first Tales of Mystery. And I'm like, we raised 16 grand. And he goes, I had no idea. I thought the book just came out. And actually, Doug Paskevich said this great line about Facebook. He said, yeah, you know, you post something on Facebook, it's like throwing red paint in the ocean. You see a big red splotch for a minute, and then 10 seconds later, it was like it was never there.
Yep.
Yep, that is so true.
And that's it. So, yeah, I mean, I have all my convention appearances and stuff listed at DirkManning.com. I think I'm actually going to start a store on there pretty soon here so people can order books if they don't get to see me at conventions. But, yeah, other than that, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, just at Dirk Manning. Look for the goofy-looking guy with a top hat and the glasses and a scarf.
I've never seen you wear that getup.
I wore it twice ever. And I said I would only ever wear it on Halloween. Because people always get a show like, oh, when are you going to dress like that? I did like in 2008 for a signing at Vault of Midnight in Ann Arbor with Josh Ross. Be, oh, when are you going to dress like that? I'm like, man, listen. I said, yeah, right. If there's ever a convention on Halloween, I'll do it. Ha, ha, ha. Wizard World Ohio this year is on Halloween. And I'm like, ugh. So we'll see. I, you know, it's funny. It's recognizable. People know what it is. But no, I don't dress like that in real life. Give me a break.
Just come minus on. The top hat and
the scarf. Right, I mean, you know, we're a suit for God's sake, you know.
Yeah.
We're a scarf and like what about my you know, and all muffled, you know.
All right, Dirk. Well, I think I think we pretty much covered all of our bases. People can go find you online. You'll be seeing us in September.
I hope that between you and Seth, you guys got the agenda lined up for all the fun stuff we're going to be doing.
There's not going to be enough time to do all of it, so you should probably come in like on Tuesday. Yeah.
Careful. When you get that. I'm here. Bring in my six black suits and, you know, put them in your closet. And...
Perfect. I'll give you Tony's address. yeah, well, I mean, there's so much great stuff to do in Grand Rapids. I mean, you know, beyond, you know, just all the really cool sites, you mentioned Vault of Midnight. They've got a new shop here in town now.
Right. Yeah, they got a shop there. In fact, one thing Seth and I are talking about doing is we keep doing, I want to see if we can line this up, sign at both Vault of Midnights together in one day. Like, go up to Grand Rapids,
that's a
sign
2.5-hour drive. It's not like you're Bon Jovi doing all continents in one day.
I know. Hey, I'm just saying. But, you know, you go up to Grand Rapids right for a while, then go down to Ann Arbor for the evening or something like that. So, because the Vault of Midnight crew were awesome.
Yeah. I'm sorry, dude, but you're making it sound like it's so epic. It's 2.5-hour drive.
But you got to figure, it's 2.5. You go do a signing, drive 2.5 hours, do another signing. It's a lot of work. You wait until April 1st when you see what's happening on for the Dirkist timeline. Then talk to me about Epic. You'll all see.
Yeah, on April 1st, I'm not going to believe it though.
I'm telling you right now, no lie, the Dirkist timeline, April 1st, the most epic signing appearance of all time.
See, if you said April 2nd, I wouldn't doubt, but I've known Tony for too long, and this fucker likes to play pranks all the time, especially on
April Fool's Day. And I do April Fool's Day pranks every year. I get it, but April 1st is new comic book day this year. It's on a Wednesday. So that's just how the schedule fell out.
That's going to be fun at the shop.
Yeah, that will actually be. That's actually my least favorite day of the year since we started the podcast, because you can't trust any news that comes out that week.
Right.
None.
Well, you can trust this. Hashtag the Dirkist timeline.
Deal, buddy.
You'll all see.
All right. Well, I think we should probably wrap it up here.
Yep. Dirk, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule between signings to chat with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. And I'm looking forward to kicking it in September 19th, the Grand Con. Everyone can come out. I think I'm doing a panel there as well, even a right or wrong panel. So it'll be fun. In fact, I know I'm doing a panel there, so people can come out, hang out. You want to learn about writing comics, I'll be talking about that too, and good horror books, and Seth, and you guys, and fun.
I think we're doing a panel there as well, so, you know, this time, if you can kind of keep to your time slot, we'd,
Hey, listen, man. I didn't have to run back to get my materials this time, so we were good to go. When my time was up, I dropped the mic and walked out. I don't do this stuff where, oh, get done 10 minutes early so these guys can set up their whole AV booth, all right? I have a timeline, and I stick to it. You talk about pre-Madonnas, listen, Bon Jovi, you come bring it in like your 18 microphones, and then they're sitting there going, You know, it's 10 till 2. Yeah, it's 10 till 2, and I'm on the clock till 2, motherfucker, so just wait your turn.
Well, Dirk, Jesus. Look forward to interviewing you again.
That was going to be great. I really hope that we end up, like, across the aisle from each other at Grand Con, so we can just sit there and just mock each other all weekend.
Make it happen. Seth next to each other, and then you right across from us.
We're just going to draw terrible pictures of Dirk Manning. Oh, dude, now I'm totally freaked out, because we're going to walk away. It's going to come back. Our banner's going to have the drunk crossed out. It's going to say Dirk on comics.
I will say, real quick, many, many years ago, someone actually screwed with my display when I was at a panel.
Ooh.
Because I was outselling it, everybody in the aisle. And a couple of people thought they were being cute, and I came back to my booth, and my banner was turned around, and all the books were off the table. They were just under the table, but still.
Yeah.
I have legitimately never, ever been so angry in my life. Like, if I couldn't even say anything, I couldn't even look, I would have snapped. Because I came to find out, people were looking for me. And couldn't find me because these jackholes turned around my banner and took the books off my table. So I would, all jokes, I would never, ever screw with someone's display at a show. That being said, your cards are fair game.
Not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe again.
I hope you have a Drunk on Comics logo on the side of your car, because it'll be a Dirk on Comics before you know it.
No, see, that was the one thing, like, we talked about, hey, do we want to get stickers and stuff, like window clings and all that, and I'm like, that's the worst idea ever would be to put a Drunk on Comics sticker on your car. Hey, Mr. Ossifer, pull me over, please.
Hey, do you like comics? Yeah, especially, like, me driving back from New Jersey and stuff like that, and yeah. Yes.
All right, buddy. We will see you here in a few months. Keep pumping out all the good stuff, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
I appreciate it, and we will talk soon. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time.
Thanks, Dirk.
Yep. Bye bye.